Well, praise the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful song? Oh, thank the Lord. While they were singing, I was listening to the song, but they were taking me all over places. Just recently, I had the privilege of being with my boys, and we were in canoes back in the Cedar River. And one of them said, look, and there went a bald eagle just soaring down through. Just absolutely beautiful. They just sang about that. He guides the eagle. Praise the Lord. Watches over us. You know, we all listen to those words, but yet sometimes we're frustrated and fearful. And I hope everybody here recognizes that as simple as this may sound, God knows where every one of you are. He knows where you are. Isn't that exciting? Some of you don't look too excited, but He knows where you are. And while they were singing, I just went back over some miles, and this isn't my message, but might encourage somebody. And I'm not complaining. All of us have this, right? So don't feel bad. But there was a time toward the end of my tenure, and there were a few things that, two or three things hit me all of a sudden, just about snowed me under. I mean, you've never been there. Well, up here you've been where you might have been snowed under. But but anyway, I'm serious. I mean, I was really reeling under, what in the world? My wife and I were in Florida, headed home, and my head was spinning. And we were driving along. Nobody in the world knew where we were. Really, nobody knew where we were because we were traveling. We stopped in the state of Maryland, went in, got our supper. My wife and I sat there and ordered our meal. The waitress brought our meal. We bowed our heads and prayed. And again, nobody there knew I was snowed under, and neither did you. But we bowed our heads and prayed and started eating. And that same waitress came back and stood side of our table. And she said, did you see, now we're sitting like here, I'm facing that way, my wife this way, the aisles here with other booths here. My said, did you see the lady sitting down in that booth? My wife said, you mean the lady with the two little girls? And she said, yes. Well, he said, she picked up your tab. And I thought, well, there's a mistake. She's trying to tell us that we're going to have to do something. And so I started saying, well, that's okay. You know, whatever we have to do. No, 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 she said. That lady wanted to pick up your tab and pay for your meals. And she wanted me to tell you, this is a message from the Lord. I had money to pay for my own meal. It wasn't even the money. But I want to tell you, we sat there and I looked at my wife and I said, honey, God knows where we are. You guys didn't know I was in Maryland, and neither did anybody else. But the God that would guide the eagle through the pathless, he said, you know, I need to do something for Don Myers right now. And we stopped to another restaurant, and you won't believe it, and this isn't my message, but we stopped somewhere, and I never had to happen before nor since. The waitress brought our bill, and I started to go to pay for it, and I picked it up, and she had written on it, keep blessed. How often do waitresses tell you to keep blessed? Well, anyway. The Lord knows where you are, folks. Amen. I know. Please don't divert your attention just feeling like you hope somebody's going to pay for your meal. That's not the idea. I still can't get over it, realizing that God. Boy, I want to tell you something. I'm looking at you folks, and I have a message, but I'd almost like to encourage some of you. I'll tell you what. Whatever I say, I promise I'll be done for dinner. Okay, I will, believe me. But I wonder, somebody doesn't need some encouragement. I'm going to tell you these two things and then I'll bring you the message. I'll make a long story this short. I was 20 years old, I was in Bible school, I broke my health, I knew I had a call to the ministry. I was so sick, I went home. I'm thinking, Lord, I have a call to the ministry, I don't understand this. I was broken at 20 years old. I went up to my brother-in-law's. They were dragging out some old logs with an old case tractor. And Howie asked me, so I jumped up on this by myself, broken and discouraged. It seemed like it was all over. 20 years old. I pulled a log out down through, turned and went up towards the old farm. And here was a long area of big standing pine. Sun was shining over here, shining out through those trees. Long shadows, and I'm as real as I'm looking at you this morning. I don't know all my feelings of God. I don't understand it. I know you called me, but here I am. I happened to look, and that quick in those shadows, it seemed like the Spirit of God spoke to me and brought to me that little chorus, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. And I mean, I got a hold of that at 20 years old. You say, did it work? The long story is this. I was on my way through Maryland, and the lady said, tell them it's a message from God. I got home, been gone for some time, went through some mail, and guess what? I got another letter, not signed, love. It shook me. I had to be in Massachusetts in a little over an hour. Hour and a half. I cleaned up quick, jumped in. I said to my wife something I've ever said. I said, honey, I don't feel like preaching tonight, but I had to. I jumped in the car and I drove to Massachusetts on Wednesday night. 6:55. I went downstairs to the men's room, came upstairs. I didn't know it, but that Sunday, an elderly lady asked the preacher, Brother Smith, if he would sing a certain song. And he did that Sunday. He took that music this big, brought it back, set it in a pew so that she could get it when she came on Wednesday night. My wife happened to sit there. She looked over and saw it and picked it up. I came upstairs. I did not want to preach. I was snowed under. So I thought you just got a message from the Lord. I did, but I got a message for somebody else too. My wife said, Donnie, come here. Before I went to the pulpit, my wife handed me up the sheet music I hadn't seen in 50 years. I took that sheet music and stood in that aisle and I looked at the title and it said, Standing Somewhere. In the shadows, you'll find Jesus. I want to tell you, Brother Case, I did. I'm not bragging, but I did go to the pulpit and I did preach under inspiration. I want to tell you, I was convinced God knew where I was. Praise the Lord. And thank God for my precious wife. And forgive me, this is personal, but she held it up and she said, Donnie, the Lord knows where you are. Well, praise God. All of that is free. That was all extra. If I don't say another word, I'd like you to know that if you're in the shadows somewhere, say, oh, he's not in the shadows. I mean, he's everywhere. And when your shadows come, he's right there. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, let me sincerely, I want to thank you, thank the board, for the invitation, whoever responsible for letting us be with you again. It has been a pleasant time. And I know you say, well, these are the words you say every time. Let me tell you something. It's been a nice place to stay in that cabin you fixed over. Really, it's comfortable, and I want to thank you for it. I appreciate your kindness. I appreciate the majors working with them, and they've gone over backwards to make things comfortable, and they've all been kind, the watermans and the good meals. My lands. I mean, those are good meals. Amen. Praise the Lord. I tried to cooperate every way I could in the dining hall. And I thank you, everyone, for your kindness. And it's always, always a pleasure to work with Brother and Sister Case, and you know that. They're always so kind to us. And I'm doing this in faith. Some of us have some little quirks, and this is one of mine. But I do want to thank you in faith. I thank you for the good offering. You say, why in faith? It's always been my practice through the years. If I'm in a revival, camp meeting, any place, if they hand me an envelope, I've always had this little practice. I never open that envelope until camp is over. You say, why is that? I'm here to be a blessing. I don't want anything in that envelope to affect my preaching. If you gave a little teeny offering to my, I might want to say, hey, lay it on them. No. You know what I'm saying? I never look at, now I know I may be in for a surprise. There may be a bill in there for my meals and stay. If that's it, I'll send you the check. But in faith, I did get an envelope. It's in my room, and I don't mean to be late, but that's just a practice I've had. So thank you. Whatever it is, I'm happy. Thank you, and the Lord bless you real good for it. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I apologize if you think I've been a little extra lengthy here, but honest friend, down inside, I know where I was, and I just thought it might encourage somebody. Praise the Lord. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Father, thank you for this beautiful Lord's Day. Thank you that we still have the freedoms of worshiping together. Thank you for America, for each thing that you have done for us. Now, Lord, we pray this morning that you will bless the reading of your word. Touch our hearts together, minister to each one. Help us to honor you. We'll give you the praise. In thy name we pray. Amen. I want you to notice that little phrase in verse 27. When the storm came, the house fell, and great was the fall of it. Our world and our nature and our nation has a way of diverting your attention away from reality. Just a couple of statements because we don't want to spoil the Lord's Day, but our government administration practices continually. For you have heard the name Benghazi, I'm sure. There's always another little spark over here or over there to direct your attention someplace else from the issue. While we are focused on an Iraq and an Afghanistan, and we are constantly, there is a barrage of these things out there that they want our attention to be looking at. But I would like to take a step ahead and point out to you the subtleness of the enemy. There is a Benghazi, there is an Iraq, there is an Afghanistan, but the big, modern, horrendous attack that is happening to destroy this nation The battle is focused on your home. You say, I want to tell you something, friends. Our homes are under attack. The American home is literally crumbling. The greatest and most powerful earthly structure is giving way under tremendous pressure. You may not agree, but I make this statement. The last human bulwark for peace in this country and in the world is the home. I believe the enemy is putting forth a concerted effort to destroy your home. Oh, brother, no, I'm only making some statements. You don't have to agree. But very subtly, the enemy is endeavoring to destroy the homes of this country. One reason for the home crumbling is that for years, the foundation has been decaying. I don't have to try to prove to you that there's been a constant barrage and attack on the Word. There have been shifting priorities. Prayer, you know, is removed from school. The divorce courts are simplifying it. You can see billboards where they'll advertise out there, divorce, $195. Who ever heard of such stuff? We have. The scripture draws attention here to two builders. Now I want to tell you, my friends, you have sacrificed. But one enemy can destroy a lot of your investments. I remember telling one of my sons years ago, just a little bit of an illustration, because I was his dad. And I didn't appreciate some of the influence that was happening. And I said, son, listen, let me give you an illustration. You wonder why dad gets upset? I'll tell you why. I said, supposing now you get out of high school and you have a goal in mind and you dream for the day you can have your own Corvette. I said, you work hard and you work hard and save and save and save and save until finally one day you buy your Corvette. And then a buddy comes along and says, hey, Myers, let me try it out once. And you let him take it. And he goes down and hot rods it and goes around a bend and rolls it over and destroys your investment. I said, you wouldn't be happy. And I said, dad is not happy with those that want to destroy you. Influence is a powerful thing. And here are these two builders. They were equally impressed with the need to build a house. It's right there. They were both alike revolved to obtain it. And it appears that they were both equally, and architecturally, they had some ability to build a house. They both did. And the truth of the matter is, they both persevered and finished their houses. Very simple. It's right there. And all of us this morning realize, I'm sure, we realize the need. Most people pursue until they do something about where they live. All of us know that home is a wonderful place. Thank God for home. You know the old cliches. We traveled for years. People were always gracious to us. This is not a complaint. I mean, always good, and we appreciated it. But over and again, we would get home, and my wife would say, oh, how good to be in our own bed, to be home. No matter what, everything else is good, but home, just home. Let me hurry, and I must hurry, but let me point out to you that often we point an accusing finger at the world. And at the schools, at all the world out there, and the school system is lousy. And we complain about Madeleine Murray O'Hare and say, oh, they took prayer out of the school. And they took Bible out of the school. And we stand around and point fingers at the local community and the local school and the administration and all that they have done. And we magnify all of that. But let me back you up just a little bit. There's no sense of pointing at Madeleine Murray O'Hare about the lack of Bible in the school or prayer in the school, because a lot of our homes aren't reading the Bible on your end tables. If we don't read the Bible at home, if we don't pray for our children at home, Madeleine Murray O'Hare is not affecting your children in your home. You are. And I am. We're living in a day when the society says, and by the way, Ann Landers has had some good letters occasionally. But I'm not interested in Ann Landers or anybody else, and never was, telling me how to raise my children. I don't know. I guess I'm in over my head already. How do I dig out of this? There's a door. I'm safe. Society tells you can't discipline your children. I was thinking this morning, oh, forgive me, so many thoughts came flooding in my mind. Do you have this advertisement on the radio up here? Ever so often we're driving along and this lady comes on and says, I will never forget the day when my son told me he hated me. You ever heard that on the radio up here? I mean, the second she says, I turn it off. So I don't want to hear that. How foolish, how dumb can anybody be? And she's trying to sell you away. I wouldn't listen to her one second. Because if one of my children ever came in and said, if they said they hated me, they wanted to do it good and loud and long because they'd get one chance. No, I am not mean. If our children they wanted to stamp their feet. Boy, you want to stamp it for all you are worth because you get one stamp. And I knew when I started this morning that I am going to be so outdated, I'm almost ridiculous. But I want to tell you, there's an attack on our home, and we're blaming everybody out there and everything, but I can tell you, my friend, and again, I Christian day schools are absolutely wonderful, but I can tell you, if you ever save your family, you're going to save them where you live. A lot of you young people, a lot of you adults, again, now remember, I'm not preaching against homeschooling Christian. You know that. I've got more sense than that. But there was not many places when our children grew up. And so they spent every day of their life in public school. And many of you did, but I want to tell you, there's one thing I realized, and it's not that I'm only saying I realized. In all of those years, few days did they ever step over the threshold of our door without being bathed in prayer, that God would keep a hedge around them, because the school system at times is rotten. Let's not blame anybody else if we don't bathe our children in prayer. I'm going to drop a bomb here that we used to hear it all the time. Amen, that's right, brother. But now you drop this bomb and people look at you and they're almost questioning in their mind. I'm talking about family prayer. Family prayer? Yeah, we grew up with the idea that you had family prayer. And some of you, people look and say, what in the world is he talking about family prayer? You know what it is? It's family prayer. It's when families pray together every day. I won't even look at you because it's none of my business if you're having family prayer, but it's my business to tell you you ought to. And I get rough here, and that's why I need at least three doors. I want to be able to get out of here. I go a little further. I'm looking at some macho men here. But I want to tell you, men, we can blame the family, we can blame our wives, but fathers ought to step to the plate and lead the family and say, look at honey, look at John, Mary, Susie, whoever, it's time for prayer. The fathers say, well, my wife, don't say your wife if you're the head of your house and you claim you are and you know you're not. If you're the head of your house and you ought to be, dads lead the way for family prayer. There was a time you'd almost get shouted down if you preached like that. And now you almost get shouted out. Amen. Well, keep encouraged. Dinner's coming. The home is being attacked horribly. You know, friends, I want to say a few things, and I know I'm not off base, but I know you think I'm not in the same playing field. But you know, families can hardly enjoy a meal. You can hardly sit in the living room. And families have so many. I'm not against modern technology. But everybody, so many have so many gadgets. You can hardly hold on a conversation. Oh, what did you say? And they're texting John. Say, honey, oh yes, I'm sorry. And what did you say? I was asking you, what was that you asked? Let me tell you something. I'm not picking that up in my house because we don't do it. I'm such an old crony. Honest, I'm terrible. If I'm talking to somebody, you know, my family knows this. If I'm talking and I'm telling them a little story and they turn around, walk out and come back in, they'll come back in and they'll say, well, Dad, what was you saying? Nothing. I don't finish the story. Say, why not? If what I'm saying isn't vital enough or important enough for you to listen, and you start talking to somebody else or you're out there doing something else, you will never hear the end of the story. I don't tell it. You say, wow. Whoop. Oh, some of you folks weren't here, and we don't say wow in service here. Wow. I did. If you have any question, you can ask later. It's just a little pleasantry, but anyway. Do you live in the modern society that I am seeing? I mean, people can hardly communicate in their own house. And I know that's a dull thing, but it's true. And through that, it's attacking our home. Believe it or not, you let our families watch too much of that stuff. It's devaluating our principles. And again, I'm not taking advantage that this is my last time to preach. That's not what I'm doing. I'm talking about the home. I think this is one reason I could never have a television set, because I can tell you almost everything we believe is contradicted on the television. The swearing, the smoking, on and on, the cursing, the drinking, the interlocking of marriages and triangles and cuss words and swear words. I mean, on and on and on and on and on and on. Letting our little children hear that stuff. And boy, that was worse than the other one. That makes it more quiet here than ever. My wife and I were at the IH convention staying in a motel. We came down to have breakfast one day. And, of course, you know where they have it. There's a television on. My wife and I sat there. And I want to tell you, we sat there and I heard language that I don't even hear out on the street. I mean cuss words like you wouldn't believe. And it's right there. It glanced up. And I won't be too vivid, but I want to tell you something. I could not believe in a minute, the cursing. And it glanced up, and there were those that just ripped their clothes off themselves. Like, good night. Who was that said that got so quiet they could hear their arteries hardening? It's just a warning, friends. Myers, throw him out. But the attack is on your home. It's on your home. Do we have time for each other? Do we have time for our children? I want to tell you, and this doesn't mean I'm only trying to help this morning. I had some things strike me hard. My first church, and I thank God it happened. My first church, naturally, was out calling, and I came home, and I stood in my living room with my 3 or 4 year old little boy. And he walked over and he looked up at me and he says, "Daddy, can't you take your coat off?" Wow. Oh, I was in the ministry, but I want to tell you, I said, "Yes, son, I can." And I took my coat off and I stayed home with my little boy. You say, "You should have been calling." Yeah, I did. I called on my little boy when he said, "Daddy, can you take your coat off?" Let's not be strangers to each other. I took a church and said, you say, "Rabbi, I don't care what I." I have to tell you, I don't like saying "I" because I think it's disgusting. I'm not trying to draw attention to myself. But I took one church and I said, "I will expend my energies to you. I will do everything I can. But there's one understanding. My first mission field is my family." Amen. Now I'm going to lose some of you here. Pastoring in Tunkhannock on the corner of the main route 6 came through Tunkhannock, and the church was here and the parsonage back here, and then that parsonage had a wooden porch out open underneath. And I went out under there. We had trucks and bulldozers, and I was under that porch, the pastor of the local church. I was under there pushing trucks, and kids make noises. It's amazing what you can learn under a porch. I mean, we made roads, little dump truck. You know how they went? I mean, we drive over. The porch is this long. We drive all the way across town and dump, and you come back, and I load the dump truck up, and they and dump it over here, and say, "How dumb can you be?" I was so smart, I was happy. Because I made roads with my boys. We loaded trucks and emptied them and used bulldozers. And I learned noises, how to run those machines. And I found out, if you'll take time to build roads in sand with your boys, when they come and need a bridge to cross, they'll say, "Dad, I need your help." So what about the girls? "Oh, brother, they can wear you out." No, girls, don't misunderstand me. Wait a minute. My granddaughters came by, too. Robin's little girls went in the living room, and one of them says, "Now hold on, you big guys, you macho guys, just forget it for a minute. Grandpa, will you play Ring Around the Rosies?" Don't lie. Have you ever played Ring Around the Rosies, or have you watched? Sure. So I ring around the rosy, pocket full of palsy, all fall down. So you got to fall down. So I'd fall down, kick my feet in the air, and they laughed and giggled. Grandpa, let's do it again. Okay. Ring around the rosy, pocket full of palsy, all fall down. I mean, after so, can we do it again, Grandpa? Yeah. After so many times, where are you going to kick your feet? How are you going to make them laugh again? Boy, Grandpa, will we do it again? Yeah. Robin came to the door and she said, now, girls, you leave Grandpa alone for a little while. And I'm thinking, oh, quit spoiling our fun. Boy, am I ever glad you showed up. Friends, I know this is corny, but would you listen a minute? The other day, those two granddaughters came home with their own little babies to a wedding in our family. And those two girls gave me, it was Father's Day, and they gave me a little card. I want to tell you something. Those big girls with their own little children, they said, Grandpa, we just love you. Man, I said, well, I'm a baby, and guess what? Men don't cry, but tough men do. And I did. I said, I'm sorry. I said, I'm sorry, honey. Grandpa's a baby. Sorry, Grandpa. We love you. I said, well, I'm not playing ring around rosies. Well, let me challenge you with something else. I sat in that a living room where I pastored, and they were there, and little Bethy, about this big, she came by me and into the living room in a little crib, and she snatched her little doll out of there, and she goes out in the kitchen and she says, now, hush, hush, whoop, whoop. I didn't even hear the kid. I didn't even hear the baby cry. But I had heard that before, now, hush, because I heard her father do it with her. I mean, she marched back in and laid that baby down. She went out. We sat there, and no kidding, all of a sudden, here comes Bethy again. She grabs that baby again and snatches it out, and in the kitchen again, and whoom, she says, now hush. Now, you macho guys, hang on. I am not a sissy, but I can tell you, she came by with that little bawling baby and says, Grandpa, will you hold my baby? Oh, I took that little doll. Oh, Brother Cal, I want to tell you, I took that little doll. She says, oh, honey, you be quiet. I don't want you to get it again. I don't remember all I thought, but I sat there. I'm patting this little doll. And you big guys out there say, you big sissy, try it. I know some of you wouldn't take a doll and pat it for the life of you. But the world is rushing on, and you want to tie your family together. Pat little dolls if you have to. Let your kids know that you're interested in their cares and their concerns and the things that's battling them. I was in a ministerial one time talking about some of this to the men. And a fellow sat right here. And I got all done, and he walked up to me and he said, Brother Myers, I've never done anything like that in my life with my son. And he's 17. I said, it's time to start. I know I'm not here to brag on Myers. That can be disgusting. I know that. But I've run up and down basketball courts with my boys. And let me tell you, I wanted to be their hero. Say, man, I never had time to do anything like that. But I'll tell you what we will do. We'll go to extremes in building a house. We will. And make sure the bearing beam is this big to carry the rafters and everything here on the floor joists. Because we want it solid. And we ought to. And then often we don't have time to build the morale and the moral courage in our homes. Well, let me hurry here. We'll get down to where we need to go. I want you to notice their houses. The chief apparent difference of these two men probably was this, that one of them built his house more quickly than the other. The main difference of those two houses was out of sight. There they stood. But the main difference was out of sight. The foundation. It takes time. I'm not saying I was successful. But you can try, folks. You can try. There are storms that are coming that we better be ready for. You build on sand, I'll tell you what we're facing today. There's the sand of affluence building on, and the cry is, and we do, we want our children to be successful. We do, and that's okay. There's the sand of materialism. Get it. The sand of possessions, the sand of intellectualism. And man, all of us, how I wish I would have been better educated. I may have been a blessing to somebody. I'm not against any of those things. But if that's the emphasis, my friend, if that's the emphasis, we're missing. The challenge is to put those words on the doorpost in the morning and afternoon and let our children know that there is a God in heaven, and if whatever happens, they need to answer to Him. There is a relationship, my friend, that goes beyond the little children. And you know where the key is? Are you here? I'll tell you where the foundation and the key is, it's mom and dad's relationship. I'm from the old school, so don't get embarrassed. But when I grew up, my father, every time he left for work, he would go over and kiss my mother and embrace her and on to work. And you want to know something? As long as I saw dad kissing mom and giving her a hug, I knew everything was okay. We were safe and sound. When mom and dad were like this, it brought security to the home. Man, I'm almost alarmed at the silence here this morning. Is all of this too outdated? Let me remind you, it works. Well, I guess nothing works. The enemy is attacking our homes. And let me tell you something. If mom and dad are like this, the children are wondering what's going to happen. It was actually funny. It wasn't, but it was funny. I don't think anybody ever in their life ever heard me holler at my wife. I don't think she can remember if I ever did either. I'm serious. Did we always agree? No. We are total opposites. Believe it or not, my wife and I are total opposites. Literally. But one day I stood in the kitchen and my children never heard us going at each other. No. But one day I stood in the kitchen and I wasn't yelling. I just said, Paula, I'm sorry, honey, but I don't agree with that approach or whatever it was. I mean, just like that, in the living room, Robin was, I mean, she was about, I don't know, 8, 10. She sailed into the kitchen and stood right side of us. We weren't arguing. I just said, honey, I don't agree. I mean, she stood right side of us. And she said, Daddy, you and Mom are going to separate? I said, honey, I actually laughed. I said, no, Mom and Dad are not going to separate. I said, Daddy, we just didn't agree on something. But, I mean, just the inflection of my voice startled the little girl. And I said, no, honey, no. It was funny to me, but it dawned on me, it wasn't funny to her. All of you weren't here, but I was telling the folks a little illustration, a message where my wife and I stopped someplace and she saw this little sign. A few of you heard that, but she saw this little sign and it was really cute. It was about this long with jagged edges and somebody had cut a crab and it was hanging over it. And the caption on it was, "The crab is in." And she said, "Man, this is cute." I said, "Honey, why don't you buy that? That is really neat." The lady only wanted a quarter, so my wife bought it, and we took it home. I thought it was really nice. And, you know, a few days later, I walked in the living room to sit down at my chair, and I have a light there, and hanging on the light was this little sign, "The crab is in." Yeah, funny, huh? Yeah. I thought it was funny. I liked it. But you know, because of our home, that night we got in bed and I'm dead serious. My wife was so serious. She said, "Donnie, I'm sorry, honey. I didn't mean to offend you." I said, "Offend me?" She took the sign down. I laughed. I said, "Honey, you have got to be kidding." I said, "Put that sign back up. That didn't offend me in the least." And guess what? If you'd come home with me without any adjustments, if you would walk in our living room right now, sight of my lazy boy is a little sign that says the crab is in. You can turn the crab is in to some fun and laugh at your house and make sure. But my wife, dead seriously, said, "Donnie, I didn't mean to offend you." Well, I said, "Honey, you didn't offend me in any way. I thought it was so funny and so good. And I know, just looking at you, some of you would like to borrow that." And you think I'm kidding? My niece came in and saw it, and she laughed. We paid a quarter, and she said, "I'll give you $2 for it." I know where she wanted to go with it, but we wouldn't sell it. So now it's an investment. You know, friends, I don't mind, and we're laughing together, and it's okay. But I'm dead serious. There's Iraq and there's Iran. But this government is out to destroy your home. And I know Brother Case covered this so thoroughly the other night, and thank God for somebody has courage to say something. And what I'm about to say, believe it or not, I'm liable to end up in jail. But I'm going to tell you anyway. I want to reiterate what he said. The attack on the American home is full bloom right now, trying to allow same-sex marriages, and that is trying to delinquish, do away with the concept of the American home. But I want to tell you something. There was a time, there's a couple of cities that are still buried under the Dead Sea with nothing alive because God will not tolerate that. And he's not going to tolerate it in America. He is not going to tolerate it. Coupled together with all the Bible talks about shedding innocent blood. And I know, here's where I could go to jail for, but I have a right to repeat something that's already printed. The President of the United States, when he was a senator, voted at least two different times when they wanted to bring on some legislation to stop the partial birth abortion. That's when a baby is, I don't want to be graphic here, when they literally murder babies. And this president voted against that so that they could go on murdering babies. I'm tired right up to the top of my head with the hypocrisy, and little children in Connecticut were murdered. Yes, they were. But the same president who would allow little babies every day to be murdered out of homes went out on public airways and sounded sympathetic for the little children while he signs legislation to literally suck the brains out of little babies. If I look disgusted and next door to mad, I am. Stand out in front of our country and talk about the children and their safety. And want to take away the gun? You want to know something? If you want safety, Mr. President, to come back into America, do some legislation where they'll let those little kids and a teacher say a prayer for them in school and ask for divine providence and protection. Let them pray. That's how I feel about it. Yes, I am disgusted. If I go to jail, pray for me. I have claustrophobia so bad, they'll have to know where they want a door right now. And you say, you smile and you don't like it, but I can tell you, if we keep it up, if they continue to pass laws, we're not going to be able to stand in these pulpits and preach against that kind of sin anymore. But I can tell you, God's going to take care of it. 50 million babies murdered. And this president praising. I'm trying to think of that group, Planned Parenthood, when he gets up and talks about God bless them or something. No, God doesn't bless. But he does bless your home. I want to tell you, my friends, you have a home. What a wonderful place it is. You may have some problems and cares and frustrations, and don't get excited. To this day, I hope it doesn't shatter your faith, but to this day, are you ready? My wife and I don't agree on a lot of things. And all of you do. Don't tell me that, or I'll have you husbands and wives looking right at each other. Tell the truth. We're not rubber stamps. We don't agree. But I can tell you. You say, well, our children are gone. Let me remind you, our children are all gone. But there isn't a day we draw a breath that my wife and I don't pray together. Because we need it. I want to close with just this little thought. Remember, my friend, I can tell you, storms are coming. Storms are coming, coming bad. Oh, Brother Myers, I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just trying to tell you that we better be ready for these storms because they're coming. Let me build a little scenario and I'll let you go to lunch. If I'd invite you all down to my house, I mean, don't everybody come at the same time, but come down and we just say, hey, I'd like to show you something. I'd take you up around the block or two. There's an empty lot there. I said, look at this guy. He's building a house. And you look and there's kids running around there. And you don't see him, but you see dirt coming up. He's digging a foundation. If you listen close, hey, Dad. Yes, honey. Can you come here a minute? He comes up. Hey, Dad. Throws a football. The father catches it, runs around, throws it back. Dad, can you pump up my tire? Oh, sure, son. Okay, now. Okay, yeah, Dad. Dad, hey, throw me one more. So he goes back down, digs some more. I want to say, let's go over here. I take you up around the block quickly, and here's another guy in a lot. He's building, and man, he's down like this, and he's putting some blocks on each corner. He's already got his floor on. The other guy's hoping for footings. You come back a week or two, we go around. This guy is laying up blocks, and you finally see his head. He's laying up blocks. You go over here, this guy, you say, where is he? Boom, 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 boom. He's putting shingles on. So you go, forget all about it. A year later, you come by, and I said, hey, by the way, I want to show you guys something. I want you to go with me. I want to show you something. The guy down here was already putting shingles on. His kid is saying, Dad, look, I don't have time. Dad, but could you just, I told you I don't have time. But if you could just, son, I'm putting shingles, I don't have time. So now you come back. We go around, and here's a nice little house. Shingles on, it's winter time, smoke coming out of the chimney, fireplace. You see kids out in their snowsuits throwing snowballs, and father sneaks around the corner and throws a snowball. Hey, there's Dad! You know, and they tackle him in the snow, and all intact. But wait a minute, let me show you something else. We go around the other block. Myers, you gotta be kidding, what happened? Oh, didn't you read? We had a horrible storm come through here. A horrible storm. Here's a house that used to be. Shingles over there, tin here, sticks there, flat. Family's gone somewhere. So what happened? A storm came through here. And I want to tell you, it was sad. But the guy over here that you saw shoveling dirt, foundation, shingles. The storm came, but it withstood the storm. But this poor guy, his house is gone, kids are gone, family's gone because of the storm. We're right about ready for the storm. Say, oh, don't, no. It looks to me like the storm's on out there. But thank God. My wife read this the other day, and she's just been thrilled to read. I think it was Daniel or whoever. One statement, there is a God in heaven. And I want to tell you something. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me, and he's going to protect the little kids. Such is the kingdom of heaven. And he's going to take care of you, whether in Maryland eating a lunch or in Pittsfield snowed under. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus, and he wants to take your home and mine and put his arms around us and hold us steady through the storm. My friends, seriously, no joking. There is a concerted effort by the enemy to keep reminding you of Iraq and Afghanistan and other places while he is sneaking in the back door with everything imaginable to destroy your home and ultimately America. Aren't you glad he's on the throne?
Sure.
Praise God. He still guides the eagle through the pathless air. Knows where you are. All right, I said I would. Wow, I am. It's 1 minute till 12. And the bell is about ready to ring. And we're still free and healthy enough to go to the dining hall. So let's stand together. Let's pray, my friend, and ask God to keep our families intact. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence this morning. We thank you that you are in favor of our homes. Oh God, help us to be established in the things of God. Guide our children, we pray, to the cross. We ask, Lord, that you'll continue to give your angels charge over your children. Father, give us a good day in the Lord, and please bless every family that is gathered here this morning. In any area of any concern, we pray that you'll help. Help us to learn to back up. Help us to love each other. Help us to pray. And above all else, Lord, help us to be sure that we make it to the marriage supper of the Lamb with our families. Thank you again for your presence and your help. For what you do, we'll give you thanks. In thy name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.